Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is a new year. It's 2024, but I have the same old lottery tickets. So, you know, we are putting a little bit of, I would say a hiatus, but a little bit of a chill pill on the Crab Cake Tour for the next couple of weeks so that we may bring you the largest promotion we've ever done. It's going to be Radio Row Week. Trust me, it's going to be big. It's going to be large. It's February 5th, so we'll have some fun with that. We'll be giving away fresh lottery tickets. I still have these. These are still good. The peppermint payouts, if you win. We talked to John Martin about that. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free 0% financing all winter long, and the doors and all that good stuff, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube, MultiCare. Want to give them some love as well. Oil change. My New Year resolution. The light's been on since like December 18th. I'm not driving a lot. And I'm not really out of code too much on the oil, but I got to get over to Jiffy Lube. There's no excuse other than I'm busy. I'm doing stuff. I'm planning for AFC championship games. I'm counting Lamar Jackson's MVP trophies and the ways. I'm still counting the points that the Ravens scored. By the way, the running up the score thing, dude, like I've never seen more heel heat brought upon me than to say that he ran the score up, and that might not be, you know, cool, nice, biblical, sportsmanlike, any of these things that John portrays himself to be. And then I like said, well, you know what? They scored 70. Pile on Mike McDaniel. F him. Vic Fangio, whom I like a lot more than I like John Harbaugh. And I've known longer than I've known John Harbaugh, and I like him a whole lot more. But I would say this. McDaniel kneeled on the ball when they had 70 points. I had to do the revisionist history because the Palm Beach Post wrote about it. The Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel wrote about it. The Miami Herald wrote. Everybody wrote about piling it on. And meanwhile, we're just brushing it off, and it's time to wait 3 weeks and see which six starters we're going to put on the side here. Luke Jones joins us now after yet another, I don't know that there's any victory lap. I don't want to be crass in regard to John and certainly not Eric in what they've built here to get this thing to, as you've pointed out, where it was in 2019. There are a lot of decisions that are going to be made the next 2.5, 3 weeks, and they're all going to be heavily scrutinized based on whether they go out and wax Jacksonville 42-19 or whether they stumble and bumble to lose to Joe Flacco 27-26 or something. Who knows how this is going to go? But, man, this is where the head games all get played, Luke, and we're going to play them, right?
Yeah, I mean, and let's be clear, these are very good problems to have. These are the best problems to have. As I mentioned in our previous conversation, regardless of what happened with the Orioles and the Rangers and the division series, you'll still take that over playing in the previous round because, you know, if you play in the previous round, you can get beat in that round and then it's over and you're not even making it to the divisional round. So that being said, yeah, there's certainly some interesting decisions, and not even so much the decision of who plays, who doesn't on Saturday. And by the way, as an aside, who saw that coming? I know the Ravens were even surprised to see Steelers Ravens in a game that doesn't mean anything to Baltimore and means a lot for the Steelers for that to go into that Saturday national TV spot. I know.
Coach Harbaugh, we're just giving you another extra day's rest for the game that matters later on.
Right. That's how you have to spin it. But I mean, I don't think John Harbaugh was outraged. Let me be clear about that. But they were definitely surprised. You know, there was definitely some surprise talking to a couple people within the organization. But is what it is. They're going to play. They're going to rest their top guys. You can't rest everybody. Now, I'll continue to stress that. You don't have a 90-man roster like you do in the preseason where you can legitimately sit all of your starters.
I don't know what this feels like. We haven't played a whole lot of games like this ever, right? So we haven't talked much about like resting everybody and Russ versus, we've chased Russ versus rest, only caught it once or twice, really, right?
Yeah. I mean, they did this. They did have this scenario at the end of 2019, and I went back and looked, and the guys that sat are not overly shocking. Lamar Jackson sat. Mark Andrews sat. Mark Ingram was dealing with a calf injury, so he was injured and did not play.
I guess Marshall Yanda?
Marshall Yanda, Ronnie Stanley, Brandon Williams, Earl Thomas, and I believe Jimmy Smith was active, but he did not play. So really, when you look at it, keep in mind, you have a 53-man roster. In this the recent years now, you have the two practice squad elevations that are available to you as well. So you would fully expect the Ravens to use a couple of those. You can have, you know, you deactivate seven, and you can have 48 up, you know, when you're counting elevations. So you have a 55-player pool if you're going to use your two elevations, and you can have 48 active. One of those seven inactives is your emergency quarterback, as we've seen that brought back this year. So the point is, you can, yes, you deactivate your the best of the best. You know, I fully expect Lamar Jackson. I mean, Marlon Humphrey's injured right now. Kevin Zeitler's injured right now. Kyle Hamilton injured right now. So, I mean, a few of those decisions are going to be made for them in the sense that guys that are banged up, they're certainly not going to put out there. But, you know, you kind of you do the math, acknowledging that you don't want to compromise even your key backups or your lesser starters too much. So, you know, you kind of do the math and you say, okay, you can probably rest 10 guys, let's say. Now, you can rotate other guys. Guys that are starters suddenly become the backups in terms of, you know, the rotation for the outside linebacker position, or, you know, kind of go through. But point is, you're going to try to rest guys. You try to make the most informed decisions you can. But as John Harbaugh said in his Monday press conference, because imagine this, there weren't too many questions about Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers on Saturday. Imagine that. But he said, you know, look, we can go back and look at 2019, and I have some thoughts, private, and some thoughts that we've talked about. I mean, it's very difficult to quantify all of that, right? I mean, I've said to you over and over, even going back to 4 years ago, I think the rest versus rust thing, I think a lot of that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think you make as much out of it as you want to, or as little out of it as you want to.
They didn't play well, and they weren't prepared for what the Chargers did, what the Titans did, and any of those, sir. And they weren't the better team against the Bills, and certainly against the Bengals, it was a Herculean effort. With a backup quarterback to almost beat them.
Right.
I mean, I mean, when I think about preparedness, preparedness is coaching, X's and O's, Jimmy's and Joe's, health. And then some of it's like, it's fourth and one, you don't get a yard because your quarterback trips or something. Like, you know, and then the decisions, everything supremely magnified in a game that might not be 56-19. It might be. But if it's not, and it's a 7-point game, and Joe Flacco's got the ball, or Josh Allen's got the ball, or whoever it's going to be, Patrick Mahomes at this point has the ball. You know, I mean, it could be any of this huge pool of different teams at this point. So we have all of our fun talking about all this, but the preparedness is going to be based on mental reps, health. They've been prepared for the last 17 games, Luke. They've been the best team in the NFL. They've been the best Ravens team ever, man. Like, so to your point, they don't make the Super Bowl to win the Super Bowl. Shame. But some issues going to have to really go wrong, and somebody's going to have to come in there and play their asses off to beat the Ravens.
Yeah, but on the flip side, and I agree with everything you just said, we also know history suggests, and look no further than the history of this franchise, that to win the Super Bowl, inevitably some things are going to have to go in your favor too. It's not just going to be that you're better in each of the games that you play. You're going to have the ball bounce the right way at some point in time too, because you're playing good teams in January. And I get it. The Ravens are the best team in the NFL. We've talked about that. I don't think anyone's arguing otherwise at this point, in Baltimore or outside Baltimore. I mean,
it would be Patrick Mahomes' first road game, right? If they play a home game.
It would be.
Right. I mean, it's crazy.
And look, the Chiefs are still there, and I know they're a mess, but it's still Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Josh Allen and the Bills, if they take care of business this week, which, again, what's funny now is the Ravens are in this mode where it's all about preparation, trying to get some rest. The guys that are playing in the game, they're preparing to play the Steelers. I mean, you want to put your best foot forward with guys that are actually going to play, especially, backups and, you know, someone like a Geno Stone. You know, he's going to play in this game. He adds two more picks to his stat line for this season. He's cashing in on the free agent, you know, cash register. So there's still plenty of that going on, but there is this big picture sense that you have in the offseason and you have in training camp where you're doing prep, but it's kind of a faceless opponent. You know, that's where the Ravens are right now, because you don't know who you're playing. You have a pool of teams that your advanced scouts are doing work on, but it is this different dynamic that you have all these other teams you're looking at in week 18. And I know some others have clinched, and certainly there's some others besides the Ravens, but I mean, you look at all the, you know, the Steelers, for example. I mean, they need to win and they need help to get into the playoffs. I mean, but the Ravens, there's none of that this week. So, you know, if you're John Harbaugh, you're trying to weigh all these different decisions you have, whether it's, you know, guys that are banged up, your most important players that you don't want to get banged up.
And then you're out there losing 23-3 to halftime, and the Steelers are kicking your ass because, like, it really means something to them. And you're like, just get me out of here. Yeah. Like, literally, just get me out of here. And listen, I don't want to pile on John, but I will. And the late points. Man, dude, Chubb got carted off, and then they threw the ball over their heads. Like, I mean, it was totally a Vic Fangio thing, and like all of John's little personal slights that he'll probably have against me the rest of his life, and I'll probably have against him. But nonetheless, like, there is a point where you just watch their best player go down when they were losing 30 points. Lamar was running into people. Like, what were they doing? And this whole weekend's going to be that, Luke, for every player. Everybody, because Matt Ibike, to your point, he wants to play. Pad those stats, Daddy-O. Give me two more sacks. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, the guys that need to pay for play, as Brian Billick would say, and need to pad stats and have whatever their personal number is, whatever their agent's telling them, whatever. But they also all want a Super Bowl. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But you know, this is a game where Isaiah Likely is going to play, and some of those guys. And, you know, I heard Harbaugh talking about OBJ could go off for 10 catches. Maybe this is that week. I don't know. I mean, because they're going to go have some fun, I get, right? I mean, the guys that are out there playing, it is sort of a preseason game to go out there and try hard and put some good tape down and do all of those things that you'd like to say. But my God, as we sit here, the guys that are important, having watched Chubb go down, having watched anybody go down, and watching a real NFL game, you know, this whole against the Steelers, no less, you know, it's a real game to the Steelers. It really is. And you know that. And we'll all half-ass it. And it's Saturday. Everybody's selling their tickets to Steelers fans and go down there, have a good time. I'm saving up for my $800 it's going to cost me to get an AFC championship game ticket or whatever it's going to be. Or saving up for Vegas. Is people better have the gold card if you're going to Vegas. I've talked to my ticket brokers, and I have some. I will have tickets here if people want to go. I got a guy. But, you know, tickets are $8,000. So it's not like – so this is your chance. If you want to go see them play, go spend another $150, $200 and go down next week and have a good time and, do whatever it takes against Joe Flacco, Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, I guess it could be any of these different combinations of different players. – But that's what the next 2 weeks is for us, right? We're going to be watching these other games, these other teams, where the seating is, Steve Kornacki lining things up, having a good time. And then we're going to sit around on a cold-ass weekend, holiday weekend, Martin Luther King weekend, and we're going to sit and watch two games Saturday, three games Sunday, one game Monday night. That might be the game that feeds the Ravens. Who knows, right? And the Ravens are going to sit around here and wait until the 20th or 21st, maybe early, maybe late. They're going to screw me and play the Sunday late game because the Smithereens are playing Annapolis. Watch me. Well, just mark that down. We're playing the late game on the 21st. That's just intuition. But this is fun. Like, this is fun, but it's also get me to 7 o'clock Saturday night, get Harbaugh to 7 o'clock, and whomever plays, Stone, Matabike, Stevens. I'm just going through the list of, you know, the center, Ricard. I mean, all of these guys that are going to have to play, you can't say, go be gentle with TJ Watt. He's playing with his career on the line, playoffs on the line. You know, this is a different kind of game, different kind of game than I always felt like Tony Dungy was out there playing patsy cake with everybody when they were 15-1 and whatever. This isn't, and even Belichick would have this sometimes happen December 10th. With Tom Brady and have to kind of navigate it. We're going to talk about this a long time. And honestly, dude, Purple Rain 3, which I'm sure you're going to author. This is part of the lead story. If they win the Super Bowl, how this gets managed and how it gets managed well, and how they get all their horses to the course, maybe even Mark Andrews, maybe at some point on this journey, the way Rod Woodson came back and played in the Super Bowl, 28 years ago now. And that's possible. They've written such an incredible story, dude, from where Lamar was, where the contract was, where the team is, where the wide receivers were, where Harbaugh hasn't won playoff games, and they still haven't won playoff games, really. They've written a nice Purple Rain 3 here if they can play 3 hours of really, really exceptional Joe Flacco 2013 exceptional football.
Yeah, I'll actually disagree with one thing you just said from the standpoint of you said how they navigate now until the divisional round is a big story. I would suggest they want it to be the other. They want otherwise. They want it to not be a story how they navigate now to 3 weeks from now, because that means they didn't get anyone of significant note hurt against the Steelers, and you didn't have anything weird happen. No off the field stuff. And, anything that would take away from whoever you're playing the third weekend of January, which is where we are at this point. I want to go back to something you said, though, and maybe we could turn this into a separate piece, maybe even. But I just think it's interesting because you mentioned Super Bowl, you mentioned the cost, you mentioned fans, would they go to Vegas? How it's a expensive ticket. But I also just love the idea. And we talked about this in 19, but we didn't get to talk about it very long because it ended just like that. The idea that the AFC Championship game could be played in Baltimore for the first time since 1971. And think about it. There are plenty of Ravens fans who made it to Tampa in Super Bowl 35, plenty that went to New Orleans, but no Ravens fan has been to an AFC Championship game played in Baltimore, a Ravens fan, not an old Colts fan. So there's something that is very special there. And I do wonder where the juice for that, where that ranks compared to attending a Super Bowl, knowing that the Super Bowl is never going to be played in Baltimore. You know what I mean?
I'll
So
tell you what the
I
juice
just
is.
think that's
Let
special.
me make a con let me make make this into something, because I mean that, well, you can take me down a whole different path here,
No, I
Luke. I
just
mean,
think it's
honestly,
really
because
special to think about that
I'd have
because
to
it
think
hasn't
if I've been
happened.
to a dozen championship games. I mean, let's say at least, but about a dozen, because I haven't been in a long time, but for a dozen years I went every year, and you can't go to both. You can only go to one, right? So like literally I can tell you which one I was at all of those years. So I was in Green Bay the first time they won in the cold and beat Carolina, and it was 5 degrees and my French fries got frozen as I bought them and brought them back to Lambeau. I remember telling you that story. Pretty damn cold the day we were there, and it was only like 28. This was different. But so I saw a championship game there. I was in the press box, imagine that, at the Metrodome in Minnesota the day that Brian Billick and the Dirty Birds, the day our franchise changed. And I took the elevator downstairs and I saw Taylor Smith, Rankin Smith's son, the David Modell of the Falcons, hyperventilating at the fact that the Falcons were going to the Super Bowl with Jamal Anderson. So, like, I remember the building and I remember the deflation of the building. Dude, I was at the Drive game in Cleveland. How about that with Phil Jackman? I was sitting on the 50-yard line, which was basically right field, in the old Cleveland Municipal Stadium, Section 10, right? Where the foul pole would be, but it was a 50-yard line. Ernie, of course, he got me that ticket. Dude, they were going to the Super Bowl. I'm in there. They were going to the Super Bowl. And then I watched Elway go left to right from home plate to the Marlboro sign out in center field and just slice dice across the middle. I saw Ozzie make the big catch to the left before that, the whole deal. And I've seen it's a much richer experience. You know what I mean? Like from a fan experience of having been to those New England games, having been to the Pittsburgh game, right? Like a lot of our fans went to Pittsburgh. It's one of our stories of glory this week, brought to you by Curio and Foreign Daughter, is that Pittsburgh trip. We put 1,200 people in a ballroom up in Pittsburgh and went into the stadium thinking we were going to win. And the Flacco to Polamalu. I mean, I can all these. My God, I went to a lot of championship games. Go to one. It could be here.
That's
Never.
what I'm saying.
My right.
I think there is some, you just said it's authentic. There's a little, it's a little more organic, right? It's your home stadium, as in this case. And I think for me, and I'm trying to do this taking off my reporter hat for a second and thinking about it just in terms of an experience as a fan. Because I actually had this conversation with my best buddy on New Year's Eve. I went over to his house late after the game and everything. And he went to New Orleans. He went to Super Bowl 47. So he's seen the Ravens play in person in the Super Bowl. And we were kind of talking about, the richness of the idea of the Ravens playing an AFC Championship game at home. If you had to choose one or the other, and let's say money's not an option, but just that's something that's on your bucket list that you haven't had a chance to attend, a Ravens home AFC Championship game. I'd be interested to hear what people would think as far as would you choose that compared to, going to a Super Bowl and understanding, hey, they could win it, and it's a Super Bowl, and that's the pinnacle of major American professional sports. We understand all that, but the authenticity of it being 71,000 Ravens fans or 68,000 and maybe a couple thousand whatever fans.
Hey, bro, I'm 90 days out with you on talking about what a World Series ticket would have cost here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like how deep are your pockets to $500, $600, $800, $1,000 just to get in that Cal Ripken night, right? I'm thinking of a couple of nights we've ever had here. I mean, we've had big playoff games and whatnot,
sure.
The Colts game in 06. I mean, the really special, memorable, incredible. I mean, the Ray Lewis game was incredible. I mean,
absolutely.
I think we thought we could win the Super Bowl, but we knew it was Ray Lewis's last game. So those moments that are seminal, and what was taken away from us by Angelos after the parade too, which would have been special.
Sure. Sure. It was. But again, an AFC championship. And you just said it. I mean, for someone my age who was 2 weeks old when the Orioles won the World Series, as I've noted over and over, as I have gray hair now and I'm 40 years old, but the idea of Baltimore World Series games, which we have not seen any since 1983, and the Ravens hosting an AFC championship game, which from an authentic fan experience, that's as good as it gets in the sense of a celebration where, I mean, the Super Bowl, look, the most dedicated fans who have deep enough pockets, that's a part of it, especially more and more as time goes on. But just the idea of that stadium where you've seen preseason games, you've seen regular season games. I mean, we're talking about a stadium that's 25 years old now at this point, to have that in your own stadium. And look, you're hoping the celebratory side of that, understanding, as you mentioned, it can also be very, very quiet as you're leaving if things don't go your way. I just think there is an appeal to that. And that's why that was another reason why 2019 was just so darn disappointing, or even at 06, when you think about the way it played out. Remember, the Chargers were the number one seed that year. Ravens were the two. The Chargers lost the next day, and the Ravens would have been hosting the AFC Championship. And I remember that following week, I was actually in Federal Hill walking, having been out with some friends that night, and it was a Sunday morning. I was getting ready to leave, and I thought, man, AFC Championship could have been here today. And I just thought how disappointing that was. So this is such a rich opportunity to experience that, for Ravens fans to experience that. And I think, of course, the Super Bowl is the pinnacle. I'm not suggesting that the game itself is more important, but I do think there's an argument to be made about the authenticity and just how special that could be.
When we had the Mile High Miracle that week, I'm not crazy, but it was so effing cold in Denver. And, I was there. My wife was there after the game. I watched the video last year, my breath down on the field, the whole deal, the sort of the exaltation of all of it. Feels to me like the next day, the Patriots could have lost to somebody, and we would have had the championship game. Am I nuts in saying that? Like Jacksonville, they played some turd team, and maybe it was Kansas City. I mean, I don't know who it was, but they played, because I watched it like in an Applebee's in a frozen. I mean, dude, it was 5 degrees. It was so cold in Denver that next day, and we didn't get out till the next night. And I remember being out by the airport, this little area at some little Applebee's, like watching. And like rooting against Tom Brady, obviously, right? Thinking we got to go to New England, but also know we had a bus trip. But I think maybe we would. I could be nuts, but it feels like
I wasn't. I wasn't. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I wasn't sure, but I just looked at it. Houston, the Ravens were the four seed. Remember, going into Week 17, they played Cincinnati, and we had kind of heard beforehand that Flacco probably wasn't going to play very much. And, Ray Rice and all the different guys that they ended up resting. Flacco played, what, two series, I think, in that game. that was the game that if they had won that game, they had a chance to move up to the three spot. And the Ravens decided, you know what? That's probably not going to happen. Let's hedge our bets here and make sure no one gets hurt of real significance. And remember, they punted that game and the Bengals beat them. So the Texans, who played in Foxborough the following day, you were right about New England hosting a game the following day. The Texans were the three seed. So
if Houston, so they would have gone to Houston.
They would have gone to Houston, right?
All right.
So
I'm glad you clarified, because like
wasn't sure.
My
I
mind
looked it up.
All these years later, I'm like, I remember, but it was about the bus trip or not. I'm sure that's what it was about. Like putting a bus trip on sale before I jumped on the plane. And of course that became the magic. We sold five buses to New England. There wouldn't have been any buses to Houston, Luke. Right. So I think that was the issue. The issue was bus trip or no bus trip is why we were sitting at the Apple's. Luke Jones is here. Let's break. We got plenty more to talk about here. Offense, defense, health, the pathway, memories made along these ways, and people picking up tickets, picking up memories. Where were you when it happened? And five touchdowns and all my Jackson 5 memes and all that. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and Window Nation and our friends at the Jiffy Lube MultiCare back out on the road. We are planning the biggest Radio Row promotion we've ever done. It's going to have an incredible vibe and an ask of you, our community and our listeners and our readers and our subscribers and our podcast, whatever subscribers. And people say, do I call now? Do I say, do will you do my radio show or my podcast? What's cooler? I'm not sure, but it's sort of the both all wrapped into one here as we enter 2024. Baltimore Positive is the way to find both of us. You can find Luke out at Baltimore Positive, Instagram, find him out in Owings Mills. Get on the WNST tech service if there's injury reports, weird things happening here. But we're going into a couple of weeks where maybe the Orioles will make more news than the Ravens, knock on wood, hopefully. But the notion of when these games will be on the 20th or 21st, how the Ravens get out of this on Sunday, Luke and I are going to be talking about all of that and more. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.